Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 9. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your many gifts to us, including the gift of your word. We pray that you would make us receptive as we hear your word today, that it would strengthen our faith in you and our love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a common biblical principle that we reap what we sow. The book of Proverbs tells us that the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. We read in Luke, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And Paul writes, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Again and again, we are taught and we are warned and we are guided and we are encouraged with this simple biblical principle that we reap what we sow. Now, we know that on a farm or in the garden, it's not always quite that simple. There are weeds to contend with and weather patterns to consider. There are birds and mice and other pests who like to come and sample the fruit of our labour. There's good soil to plant in and not so good soil to plant in. There are some people who seem to be able to grow almost anything anywhere, and others who seem to be able to kill anything growing anywhere. I'm more in that category. But the principle still stands. We don't plant wheat and expect barley. We don't plant an apple tree and expect pears. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians to try to inspire their generosity and ask them to come good on their offer of financial support to their mother church in Jerusalem, which is what he's doing today, it shouldn't surprise us that he begins with this proverb. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, he's not trying to manipulate them, and he's not trying to kind of guilt them into something. He's simply restating a very common biblical principle that at least at a very basic level, we reap what we sow. Now, let's unpack that this morning by considering the seed of generosity that Paul wants us to sow, the harvest of thanksgiving that he believes results from that, and the supply chain of God's grace that makes it all possible. First, the seed of generosity. I'm constantly blown away by the generosity of people in the church, including people here at St. Mark's, including this morning as you've brought your gifts and offerings as part of our display. I'm constantly blown away by the generosity of people in the church, the way people use their time, their talents, their treasures, the way people give of themselves, many ways. And it constantly surprises me, and it constantly encourages me, and it constantly catches me off guard. But perhaps it shouldn't. Because if we read the New Testament, generosity has always been one of the hallmarks of the church. It's always been one of the seeds that the church is called to sow in the world. Paul says, each of you should give what you've decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly, nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. No compulsion, no manipulation, no guilt trips, just this call for thoughtful, careful, cheerful generosity in response to God's generosity to us. And Paul adds this, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is generous, that is his nature, and God blesses us generously, that's what he does, so we too can abound in good works. Imagine this. Someone gives you a mansion, a big, beautiful dream home in a beautiful dream location, and they say to you, it's yours. It's a gift. But I would love you to be generous with it. Share it. Let it out, you know, for free a few weeks each year or something like that. Would you refuse them on that basis? No, in that case, you just keep it. I don't want it like that. Or sure, I'll take it with no intention of fulfilling those wishes. Well, our human nature would do that and does do that at times in a way that doesn't honour the gift nor the giver of the gift. But you see, God is so generous and He gives us so much, and His simple desire for us is to sow that same seed of generosity in the lives of others. Partly because that brings with it a harvest of thanksgiving. Now, Paul calls that sort of generosity a lot of things. He calls it service. He calls it obedience. He calls it a good confession of the gospel. He says it results in many things. It results in great blessings. It results in a harvest of righteousness, he says. But the one I want to pick up on today is verse 11, where he says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." In thanksgiving to God. You see, if the Corinthians were to come good on this offer of support that they'd made to the church in Jerusalem, then what Paul is saying is it's going to bring more than just relief. It's going to bring more than just aid. It's going to bring praise and thanksgiving to God. That tiny seed that you could sow in the life of those people would produce a great harvest, a great witness. It would actually lead people to God and to thank God and to praise God. Paul puts it like this: this service you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. What he's saying there is you have no idea the positive impact you make in the lives of others. The overflow of the gifts of God. When you plant those little seeds and stand back and wait for the harvest, you have no idea, spiritually speaking. You might think you're donating a few goods to supply the needs of a few people who might be doing it tough. That's just the beginning. The overflow, Paul says, the way that results in a harvest of thanksgiving to God, that's the real glory of it. That's the beauty. It's what we don't see. It's what we can't even imagine. But it's happening. And Paul says it will happen as we sow the seed of generosity. Our wider Lutheran church, if you think of the context here, with the Corinthians being encouraged to support the work of the wider Jerusalem church, our own wider Lutheran church has its own struggles at the moment. Financial struggles, theological divisions, a shortage of pastors, many congregations on the edge of viability, our beloved seminary, ALC, just struggling to stay afloat. We have a synod coming up in a few weeks' time. We have the issue of ordination on the agenda again. Some believe that can solve the problem. Some believe that's adding to the problem. Some of you probably aren't even aware there are problems. That's good. You know, in the midst of all that, it is so easy and so tempting to simply sit back, throw our hands in the air and think, where is this all going to end? Where is this all going to go? What is going to happen to this Lutheran Church of Australia of which we're a part? You know, the early church knew a few things about financial struggles, theological divisions, a shortage of leadership, and just about everything we know about in the church, they knew about too. And yet Paul was very quick to remind them to trust in God, to love the people of God, and to remember just how much they have to be thankful for. And in order to do that, he brings them back to the source of their life in Christ, to where the supply chain of God's grace begins. And he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And then at the end of this section, he says, and in their prayers for you, that is the Christians in Jerusalem, the ones at the other end, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When it all seems too much for us, we must return to the grace of God in Christ for us. When we don't have the resources or don't think we have the resources, when we lack the generosity, when we don't know how to meet the needs of the people around us, when we don't know what's going to become of the church, we must return to the grace of God for us in Jesus Christ. There is no other place for us to go. The good news is that God has allowed us to reap what he sows through Jesus' death and resurrection. And that he has provided for us an unending access to the supply chain of his grace. God has sowed the seed of his word in our lives as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God has given us his life-giving Holy Spirit. God provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater and grace for the sinner. We reap what he sows. And so it is not our generosity or our hard work that will save the church. It is the grace of God in Christ that has already saved the church. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in our lives in the church, in our lives as families and as individuals, we know we have much to be thankful for. Remind us of these things. Draw us once again into a spirit of thanksgiving. Make us generous people, sowing the seed of generosity in the lives of others. Encourage us to see some of the fruit of that sowing, so we can be encouraged to continue in what you have called us to do. But even when we can't see those results, help us to trust that you are the Lord of the harvest, and that you are always bringing about the results you desire, and that people are being led deeper in faith in you, in love towards others, that our lives and our church is safe and secure in your hands. Lord God, lead us and guide us, and make us thankful people this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.